prologue, some final thoughts on some big events. The Pope visiting the United States, Muron blessing in Armenia, and a whole assortment of other things that we need to connect the dots between and give some final thoughts. This is Father Voska, and I am a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'm inviting you to this episode to listen in, number 382 of The Next Step.
This is Susie from epostle.net welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan, the acclaimed podcast series about spirituality through Orthodoxy. Here, Father Voskan provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. We here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Do we need to do a second one of these, huh? It just seems like there's so much to talk about, so much going on in the world. And, well, for us to take the next step. Hey, welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, including a follow-up on the Muron blessing. And I know you saw it. And if you didn't see it, I'll be telling you a little bit about it. And also point you to a video where you could see this incredible event taking place and how it unfolds. And even give you a little bit of a scorecard so you know who's who in that big lineup. I know we've been talking about it for the last few weeks, but why not? It happens once every 7 years. Next step, we're in the 8th year of production. Why not? Let's take an extra step and inspect what's going on over there. But along with that, I want to share with you some ideas about Pope Francis's visit. I know we talked a little bit about that as well last week. Well, not to repeat ourselves, but so many things took place. So many things. It was just very moving. And I know many of you who've been writing in to me, sharing your ideas. I want to start off with that. Pope Francis's visit. We talked last week about this extraordinary event that took place in front of Congress. And let me ask you a question, because last night we kicked off our new season of Bible studies, which we call Questions in Faith. And it was a question that I threw out to the group last night. What is more important, the message or the messenger? How important is the messenger to the message? And how important is the message? How important is the messenger? Do we look at form over function? Now, this is a very big thing, especially here in America. You know, all things are kind of... If you're a fan of Mad Men, you know that since the 60s. I mean, I love Mad Men exactly for that reason, because it's talking about that form. How do you get that form out? It's not what people... it's not really what you are, it's what people believe you are. And I had a chance to look at some old commercials from the 60s. There's a new station here in America called Decades, and they play all kinds of stuff from old times, but actually related. They actually do what we do here on The Next Step. They draw the lines between people and events and entertainment. I was watching some old vintage commercials. And it's really about Madison Avenue putting thoughts into our heads of what we should be. Think about the entire cosmetic market. Billions of dollars for cosmetics. Why? Because people tell us we need to look a certain way. Think about soft drinks, how they market soft drinks, or even hard drinks. How do they market beer, for instance? And, you know, the excitement of having a cold beer on a hot day and how they market that. You need to have it so that if you don't have it, you're outside. Hey, let me start off. Let's not even go to Madison Avenue. Let's not even go to Mad Men. This is a true conversation, took place last night. We were talking about our upcoming Christmas party, and we have a group called The Maidens, and you know, we do a lot of philanthropic activity. But part of the Christmas party event also has a live Santa that comes and gives gifts to the kids. And there was a question that, should we just restrict it to the gifts that we give? Because it apparently, not last year, the year before, some parents had brought gifts that they wanted Santa to hand out. And so some kids got iPhones. True story. Yeah, it happens, okay? Kids got phones, cell phones, and other kids got, you know, well, let's say, you know, a piece of bubble gum. I mean, it might as well have been, right? Next to an iPhone, what are you going to put next to it? And so the kids complained, hey, I don't want this, I want that. Well, that's all about form over function, right? Do kids even need that? That's a whole other question, right? Okay, you want them to communicate. You want them to be in touch, an emergency tool. But do they need a full blown out computer in their pockets, right? Well, I mean, I'm just throwing that out as a question, right? Do they need it? Well, somebody puts it in our mind, in our head, that we do need it. I don't know about you. I mean, I'll tell you about me. I mean, we grew up with one phone in the family. Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is like ancient times. Oh, yeah, ancient times. There was one phone in the family, and when it would ring, we would all, depending on the time of day or if we knew who was calling, we would either all run away from it or we'd all run toward it. And I'm going to get it. And there were certain social skills that we learned because of the one phone system, right? So when you called up somebody, you would have social skills that you'd have to go through, right? You'd have to talk to the person. You'd have to talk to the parents. Hey, can my friend come out to play? Just a very simple, basic thing, you know. And hello, Mr. whoever it might have been, you know. Hello, Mr. Cleaver. Can Wally come out to play? Yeah, that's a social skill. How are you, Mr. Cleaver? That's a social skill. Instead of just texting and I'm outside, come outside. Oh, big, big difference. So, there's questions. Anyway, there's questions as to the value of these instruments that we have. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the form over the function. How important is that form? How important is the messenger to the message? And the case in point is Pope Francis. Last week, he was in front of the Congress, a joint session of Congress. And I shared with you some of the preliminary ideas because that had taken place. And he said something very interesting, and I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. Go to minute 20, I'd say about 27, 28, but it takes place at minute 29 on this particular video. So do watch the video. Tell me what you think, okay? He gets up, and he's talking about the refugee crisis, and he says that in all things we must remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And no sooner had he said this, actually, if you listen to it, he only gets halfway through it, when not only does the Congress break out in applause, but they stand up. He gets a standing ovation for the golden rule. Interesting, huh? Interesting. Here's Congress, an extremely secular organization, standing up and applauding for a religious leader of the world, 1 billion Catholics, okay, it's a sizable religion, but they're applauding for something that we all know who said. Jesus Christ said it. And they're applauding for a message that was given from Jesus Christ. And the Pope never said, he didn't preface his remarks by saying, as Jesus Christ, or as our Lord would say. He just said it. How important is it to know that Jesus said that? That's a question I threw out at the Bible study last night. That was a question we talked about. How important is it to know that Jesus said something like that, as opposed to just knowing that this is the moral teaching, this is the moral compass, this is what we have to abide by, this is a way of life, a way of living. It's interesting, it's arguable whether we need to know. Now, you know, the golden rule is one of those things that, you know, you've heard in different religions, similar things. Actually, I dug up a comparison chart, and I shared it with the members of our Bible study last night, and I'll share it with you right now, too. Some of the other religions, other religious teachings, Zoroastrianism, I know, not too many of them, but Zoroastrianism. The nature alone is good, which refrains from doing another whatsoever is not good for itself. It's close. It's close to the meaning, but not exactly. Now, I want you to listen to the rest of them, okay? That one, I started off with that one because it's a little bit difficult to decipher through the code, okay? But listen to these others, and I'll just read them off, okay? Taoism. Regard your neighbor's gain as your gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. Hinduism. This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you. Buddhism. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Confucianism. Do not do to others what you would not like yourself. Then there will be no resentment against you, either in the family or in the state. Okay, it gives you a little reason why you shouldn't do it too. Let's get to the Abrahamic traditions, okay? Judaism. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. This is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. That's from the Talmud. And then, of course, Islam. No one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. Wow. Not about doing, it's about desiring. Compare that now with what Jesus taught. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. And he adds that little phrase that gives the reasoning for this. For this is the law and the prophets. It's the completion. This is it. This is the bottom line, okay? You want laws, you want prophecies, you want all this other hoopla. Here's the bottom line. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, interesting. Did you catch the differences? Yeah, somebody could stand back and say, yeah, the message is the same. Yeah, it is the same. But it's the delivery. How was it delivered to us? Yeah, the message is the same. How did it get to us? That form. And look at the form. The form is a positive one. Do to others. Not about what I desire for somebody else. Not about don't do to others. Not about the negative part of it. You know, you don't want to do to others because that'll hurt them and you don't want to be hurt. No, do to others what you would like them to do to you. Pretty simple, basic, right? And it's not too difficult to figure out why it's written in a positive way. It comes from a language of love. It's not about I don't want to do to others because I'm going to get hurt. Well, if you're in love, if you're sacrificing, if you're giving of yourself, of course you're going to be expecting that hurt, that pain. But the command that Jesus gives is a very positive. Do to others. Do to others. And you think about all the restrictions in the Old Testament. I believe it's 619 of these rules that there are in the Old Testament. Moses brought it down to 10 commandments, right? 10 which are basically pretty negative. Do not do this, do not do that, do not. I believe if you look at the 10 commandments, there's only one which is written in the affirmative. It's honor your father and your mother. With a condition that, you know, if you do so, your days will be numbered. in a positive way. They'll be added. There'll be a lot more, you know. All the others are negative. And Jesus brings that 619, which has been brought down to 10, brings it down to one simple basic thing. Love. Do to others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, if you do that, what happens? You do to others. What happens if you love your neighbor as yourself? You do to others as you would want them to do to you. It's so basic. Now, in the case of what happened in front of Congress, I mean, the Pope just went out and he said that. He didn't preface it by saying Jesus said it. Did it matter? Well, in a way, he did say it. And I think this is important. It's the symbolism. It's understanding that you are an icon and you represent the church. You represent the message of Christ. And so when the Pope said it, it's obvious. It's coming from a moral platform that he's standing on, which is Jesus Christ. I think it's really important. This was a very, very important one for all of us to really pick, to understand. It's not about saying it with your words. It's saying it with your actions. And sure enough, right afterwards, after the presentation and Congress, what happened? He went and he had lunch with the homeless. So, first of all, the message. He gets the message out. And then he follows it up with an expression of what he talked. What would you like to do? And you know, there were so many people writing about it and so many spectacular written expressions about, oh, look at the Pope. You know, he left the Congress. The congressmen were mad. Senators were upset. He went out and he ate with the homeless. For something that the Pope, if you've looked at his story, you read his story, you understand it's nothing that he did because he was the Pope. He's been doing that all of his life. He's a living testimony to the gospel. And the demand is for all of us. What, you know, on a side note, it was really interesting because I started reading some blogs, including some Armenian blogs from Armenia. And one of them caught my attention, like, what about the Catholicos? Why isn't the Catholicos like the Pope? How come the president of Armenia doesn't tell the Catholicos, you know, come to lunch and he could refuse them and go and meet with the homeless? How come you don't do that? See, we keep missing the point. We point to Catholicos, let them do it. You need to do it. We need to do it. That's what the Pope did. He brought it down that if he can do it, we can do it. We all can do it. It's not about these figureheads that need to get up there and do it. It's about all of us taking responsibility to live as Christians. And so this comes down to the point about the messenger or the message. Yeah, the message is given. The real messenger is God who's giving it, Christ who's giving it. And if he's giving it, we need to adhere to it. We need to live it out in our lives. And when we do live it out in our lives, then guess who gets the glory? Guess who gets the credit? You don't need to exaggerate with extra words. People understand you are a servant of Christ and you are doing this service to people. That's how simple it is. Now, I'm not completely naive. I do understand that there are reasons why they won't invoke the name of Jesus. And I think that really the problem is because of Christians themselves. Because we regard Jesus as the Christ, because we regard him as God incarnate, now when you invoke his name, it's invoking the name of a deity, which brings in parochial ideas. So all of a sudden, it's not just Jesus saying it, but it's your God saying this message. Interesting, right? And so you'll hear this all the time. People will say, well, look at so-and-so. Look at Socrates, for instance. He stood up for truth, and he was poisoned for it. Look at so-and-so. He stood up for truth, and he was killed for it. They won't say that Jesus did that, right? Why? Because the minute you say Jesus, we're all of a sudden in the religious sphere. We don't want to talk about religious leaders. Now, somehow the Jewish people have been very successful in doing this. In fact, even so that if you looked at the events that took place with the Pope, they had a Jewish cantor singing a hymn in Hebrew, and nobody questioned what it was. There was no translation, and be assured that, you know, there was religious connotations. There was a definite religious message in there, but it was done in a different language. No translation, just done. This was at the 9/11 event. Hey, by the way, at the 9/11 event, before we take a break right now, I thought it was wonderful to see Archbishop Chajag Barsamian there. And actually, I had to take a couple looks because I knew that he had to be in Armenia for the Miron blessing. And sure enough, he was in Armenia at the Miron blessing 2 days later. But he was in New York and he met the Pope. And I thought I was very touched when he kissed the Pope's hand. That's a purely an Armenian Orthodox tradition. I was surprised that the other Orthodox clergy didn't do that. But that's out of reverence, not for just the man, but for the ordination. It's out of reverence for the church. And wow, when Archbishop Chajag did that, it just, for a moment, I just stood back and said, wow, we really get it, you know? When you look at Armenian Orthodoxy, it's really, in its pure form, it really ties in with everything because it's not a question of, you know, I know why some of the other Orthodox may not have done it, okay, may not have done it, and it comes down to ranks and who's big and who's thing. Really, it's a question of understanding that, you know, something very unique happened this year. And I'm going to let you ponder that because Ken's looking at me. We're at the 20-minute mark and he doesn't like it that I'm going over. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. I want you to think about what happened unique this year that hadn't happened in 2,000 years. Yes. Did you see the supermoon the other day? No, I'm not talking about any astronomical event. Something very unique happened this year. It has to do with the players that I'm talking about right now. I'll come back after the song of the day and share some thoughts about that with you, as well as concluding on the blessing of the Miron. Here's today's song. Enjoy. Armin Donelian doing Hymn. This is off of his solo piano Reverie. I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could check out the song. I was going to play you, actually, Imagine by Shakira. She performed that right after the Pope spoke at the United Nations. It was just very moving and tender. But I shied away from playing it. It's sort of like in your face after everything was said and done. But I will put a link on today's show notes to Shakira singing that. It is beautiful, and I was very moved by it. Do check that one out. And also do check out the link to Armin Donelian. Today's song, Hymn. Appropriate for today, a hymn. I hope you enjoyed it. As I said earlier, it's been such a busy week, a very, very busy week in the life of, well, in the life of the church. When you look at people like Pope Francis coming and speaking in front of state institutions, even in front of the United Nations. And religious in the sense that what do we do? What is our reaction to what's going on in the world, particularly what's going on in Syria, what's going on throughout Europe, what's going on here in the United States with the refugee problem, unlike anything this world has ever seen. And I'm going to steer you to a blog I've shared with you in the past, Harry Hagopian. A wonderful blog, and you do need to listen to him and put it on your, he's on Stitcher, so if you're listening, anyway you're listening to The Next Step, do include him in your playlist too, and you'll get a chance to hear some of his wonderful remarks, because he takes a look at the world of politics, again, with a nice melding of religious thought, of spiritual thought. And I think that this is important. It brings in a unique dimension, and I'm going to place the link on today's show notes. Do check it out, and I know he'd love to hear from you too. Do share your thoughts and your comments with him as well. But this week we got a lot of reaction to last week and the week before, and one interesting comment I got it from a gentleman named Arsen in Armenia. He wrote in Armenian, which is always fascinating to me to be able to read some of these words, compound words that are brought together. But I'm going to try to basically summarize rather than read a translation. But basically, he talked about the symbiosis of the Miron blessing. And he talked about that. Yes, he said, we are blessing Miron. The Catholicos is blessing Miron. When you think about it, at the end of the service, the Miron is what is blessing us. That was just a beautifully said. I mean, it's a beautiful insight. Yes, we presume that we're blessing Miron. Really, the blessing is coming back to us. And this symbiotic relationship that we have with the Miron, that's something that I think needs to be developed and thought about. So thank you, Arsen. I do appreciate that comment that you made. Along with a copy of the booklet, I do appreciate getting that. That was my first one that I received from over there. Got another, I do want to do a nice shout out to John, a dear friend of ours from Armenia, who happened to be there at the Blessing of the Miron, sent some beautiful, beautiful pictures that I would love to use today, but I know he hasn't published them himself. But some great shots of all the players over there at the Miron. And that's what I want to share with you today. Because do you remember last week I shared with you the story about St. Bartholomew? As you know, there's two saints that come to Armenia. And this is a really important thing. Remember earlier I asked you, I said, think about this for a moment. What is the event that took place that hadn't taken place for 2,000 years? Well, earlier this year, Pope Francis and Catholicos Karekin got together for the celebration of the Divine Liturgy, the Holy Eucharist. Now think about that, the reenactment of the Last Supper. These two are the successors of two of the apostles, namely St. Peter, who went to Rome, St. Thaddeus, who went to Armenia. And here they were, 2,000 years after the Last Supper, where they, where the predecessors, Peter and Thaddeus, sat down at a common table as brothers and partook of the body and blood of the bread and the wine. 2,000 years later, here they were, their successors, Francis and Gaudakin, sitting along the common table and sharing in the Eucharistic Mass. Wow! They hadn't eaten together for 2,000 years, and there they were. And when you think about it in those terms, and nobody's actually thought of it in those terms, let me be honest with you, but when you think about it in those terms, I meant like nobody's thought of it. Come on, like, have you ever read about this anywhere else? Come on, be honest with me, okay? Yeah, this only comes out in Orthodoxy. But when you think about it, think about the power that's there and the need for us to really focus in on the strength of our faith. I shared with you earlier that, you know, one of our archbishops went and kissed the hand of Pope Francis. What a beautiful recognition of him being the successor of Peter. You see, it's easy to talk about differences. The hard one, which is so necessary for us, is to talk about our commonalities. And our commonalities revolve around a center figure for our faith, namely Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you're from Peter or you're from Thaddeus or Bartholomew or whatever. Jesus Christ is the center of the faith. And I shared with you last week this story about how Bartholomew came to Armenia and brought the small little box with the umbilical cord of Christ in there, which St. Mary had given to him. And I shared that story with you last week, but I did learn something new, and I want to share that with you today. St. Thaddeus had brought oil from Armenia for the curing of King Apgar. Apgar, the first Christian king, okay? He's in Armenia suffering. St. Thaddeus brings the oil, the first Myron, to Armenia at that time. And the tradition is that he hides that myron. After it's used, he puts it into a box and he buries it. And then in 301, after the conversion of Armenia, St. Gregory the Illuminator also sees in another vision where that box is hidden. And he goes and he discovers the myron, and it is used for the basis of the myron that we have right now. So there you go. Conclusive. You know, there's the tie with Christ. Molecules from the time of Christ, as I shared with you last week. And like I said, I'll have a link on today's show notes to the video of that. Do check it out. It's about, I think, an hour-long video. It's wonderful. Very, a lot of hoopla in there, okay? But you'll notice that people are walking around with these ornamental hands. I don't know, they're basically the relics, okay? And the most prominent one is the relic of St. Gregory the Illuminator. What it is this gold hand, and inside of it is a small bit of his hand, basically the skeleton. Okay, I don't want to get too graphic, I don't want to scare anybody, but, you know, that's what's inside of it. And if you look carefully, you will notice that there are other relics hands that are there. And this includes even the right hand of St. Luke the Evangelist, the one who wrote the Gospel. Yes, think about that for a moment, right? The hand that wrote the Gospel. Wow. It's there. It's all part of the blessing. Now, do check out the video. You'll see what's going on. And I want to point out a few things. One of them is when you see Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, he'll be bringing this black liquid. And that's basically the essence of the 40 flowers. So remember last week I shared with you how the Muron is prepared. So now you watch the video and you see who these players are and what they're doing. Now the Catholicos, when he blesses it, remember I shared with you the story and the song of blessing, Amen, Alleluia. He will bless it with three articles of faith. The first one is the cross. When you see the big cross that he holds, that one contains a piece of Jesus' cross. The second article is the Holy Gerard, which is the spear that lanced Jesus' side. Remember in the Gospels it said, it went into his side and out gushed water and blood. That spear is in Armenia at Holy Etch Mountain. The Holy Cross, the Holy Spear, and the relic of St. Gregory the Illuminator. And it's with these three items that the Muron is blessed, along with the prayers, along with the energy, the absorption of atmosphere. Don't discount that. Now, this has just been boiling for 40 days. It's just absorbing everything. And you know what? Science right now is just figuring out. There's a famous story. I personally have my doubts about it, but it was worth mentioning. This is a few years ago where somebody did an experiment. They took water and they subjected water in a bottle to classical music and then to acid rock. And of course, the molecules in the acid rock one, something happened to it, which was not favorable and everything. Okay, now they're trying to say that environment influences even the cells of organisms. This is scientific fact now. Well, guess what? We've been doing this for the last 2,000 years by leaving that holy oil there where it can absorb not only the ingredients that are all around, but the energy that is inside that church. Wow, what do you know? You've got some powerful, powerful medicine against everything in the world in that holy Muron. And that's the beauty of that Muron. It brings us together and it gives us that energy to fight against the evil in the world. So it was very fitting when I found out, and this video you'll hear, the Catholicos names this particular Muron, 2015 Muron, as the Muron of Victory, Hachtanagi. Why is that so significant? Well, against the worst, here's a group of people that has not only survived, but has come to life. Remember what I shared with you about the Muron. The Muron is that power. It's that Holy Spirit about bringing out life. And the Catholicos made such an important statement there of saying that this Muron is living Muron. That this Muron is out there and it is the Muron of victory against death, against what happened 100 years earlier, 100 years later. Here we are, not only is the Muron there, we're creating new Muron. We are blessing new Muron. And that Muron, symbiotic relationship, right? That Muron comes back and blesses us with new life and gives us that power against the evil, gives us that power against all the forces of evil, including the power against genocide and death. And so by calling this the Muron of Victory, he's really putting the stamp of the church on it, that it's a big amen. It's an amen to all the words that have been spoken, all the actions that have been taken. We are alive today. Amen. Now, last 2 weeks, I shared with you in detail some of the stories of the Muron. I'm not going to continue on that, except I did want to give this as a final epilogue to the Muron story. Next one will be another 7 years from now. So let's take the opportunity right now to really enjoy what we have, the beauty that we have. Take a look at the video. If you happen to be there, I'd love to hear from you, your comments. And those of you who were there, thank you very much for the pictures and the stories.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazkin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazkin.
There is one other story that I wanted to share with you today, and I waited till Susie made that announcement because it's important that you understand how important this ministry is. Last year on this day, today is October 1st. I can't believe we're already in October, right? We're going to be in the last quarter of the year, right? October, November, December. Yep. Last 3 months, the last quarter of the year. October 1st. It's a day that, for me, resonates in a very bittersweet memory of events, chain of events. Bitter in the sense that a tragedy happened, and sweet in the sense that we were able to rise to the challenge as a Christian community. It was on this day in 2010 that Zarwi Petrosyan was killed by her husband and mother-in-law in a domestic violence dispute. I've shared this story with you in the past, over the past several years, but I cannot let this day go by without talking about it because of the reality it points to and because of what it meant to me in my life. It was on September 30th of 2010 that I was talking to one of the people here in Los Angeles area about our project for domestic violence within the Armenian community. And this was an offshoot of the Inner Shoes mission, to walk in the shoes of others. And we had targeted and had identified domestic violence as something that needed to be addressed within the Armenian community because of the large taboos that were on the subject. And we said that, no, we're going to go out there and we're going to be talking about it. And I had already done some preliminary work and had shared the idea with how many different people. And this one lady came up to me and said, you know what, I happen to know the Armenian consulate. And the consul general is a very open-minded man. He would love this kind of project. He would love to talk about it and maybe even fund it, do it under the auspices of the consulate. And I said, sure, why not? You know. And so she said, do I have your permission to go and talk about this project to him? And I said, sure, please do. That night she called me. It was September 30th. And I'll tell you why I don't forget it, because of what happened the following day. That night she called me and she said, I'm sorry, but the council general is not interested. He feels that domestic violence is not a relevant issue. It's not happening right now. There's no problem. There's no problem. And if there is, it's so small, so minuscule, that it doesn't warrant for us to make a separate program and address this issue. And the reason why I remember that conversation of September 30th was the next morning, October 1st, we had woken up to the news that Zarwi Petrosyan in Armenia had been beaten to death, had been killed by her husband and mother-in-law in domestic violence dispute. Literally hours after I was told that this is not an important issue. This is actually not an issue. It's a non-issue. It doesn't happen within the Armenian community. And there was proof right there. It was happening, and it was on the front page of every Armenian news organization there was, and a few others. We got out there, in his shoes, got out there, talking about it, organizing. We organized the Dativ Outreach as an offshoot of this, to give wings, to give hope to people. We started working and really developing. Last year on this day, October 1st, we were out in Yerevan, part of a protest. Because right now in Armenia, it is domestic violence is not a crime per se. In other words, if you killed somebody, yes, it goes under murder. But if you don't kill that person, it's okay. You can beat your wife. Yes, it's okay. And it's not okay. It's okay by their law, and it needs to change. And we participated, and Issues was there, participating in this demonstration in solidarity with our brothers and sisters out there in Armenia. It was a memorable few days that we were there. But I'm sharing this with you right after Susie made her announcement, because sometimes you say, well, Father Voskin comes on and he says, thank you for your prayers. I don't know if those prayers get anywhere. Yes, they do. They're the means by which we are able to put this all together. Because through your prayers, we see the donations, we see the support for this donation. You can't put a price tag on the work that we're doing through In Issues and getting the word out here via Epostle and, of course, the next step. Share this message with people. Please, please. The biggest thing you can do, share the link, talk about it to people. Next big thing you can do is make a donation. Find people. You got people all around you who want to make donations to this or that. There's tax write-offs, tax deductions. You feel like there's some worthiness in this programming, please be supportive with your contributions. And on top of all of this, the most important, keep up the prayer life. Like, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. It's like a few minutes when you're praying for everything else. You've got your list. Okay? Put it on your punch list. A special prayer for Epostle Ministry, for In His Shoes. Yes, for Father Voskin. Hey, yes, I need your prayers. I mean, don't we all? We all need prayers. So go ahead. And, you know, it's so easy. It's just to remember and remind yourself that there is a ministry that touches you every week. There is a ministry that is touching different lives. I want to share with you, you know, every year at Christmas time, we organize this huge, huge toy drive. This year, before Christmas, this is last week. I think actually it was right after we went off the air last week, on last Thursday. That evening, I got a call from a gentleman, an Asian gentleman, who's donating 20 computers, brand new, tablets to kids. He calls up, he says, I hear you distribute to kids in need. He says, I don't want to give it through, and you know, you could fill in the blanks for XYZ organizations, the very big, big names. I don't want to talk bad about anybody. But he says that, I want to be sure that these get out to the kids. And he gave this to me. And we're passing them out. He says, if you do that, we'll get even more. Now, what I'm saying is, In His Shoes can be seen in many ways. But In His Shoes is an organization that right now is out there. It's on the ground floor. It's touching people. It's organizing. It's relating people in a very unique way. It's about respecting people, about walking in the shoes of others. And so please, in your donations, more important than that, make your prayer. Pray for In His Shoes. Pay for this ministry. More important than your donations, share this ministry. Now, I'm not discounting the donations, okay? Make your donations. I'm not telling you don't make those donations. But I'm saying more important, get the word out. Get the word out. Because it snowballs. And I want to thank everybody who's been doing that all this time. I'm going to call it a day for today. I know there are so many things to talk about. And today, I just kind of wanted to wrap it up. In fact, we may end up calling today's show Epilogue. Because we kind of wrapped up the Pope. We wrapped up the Miron. Next week when we get back, we're going to start on all brand new topics. Okay, I promise. And if you think you've heard it all, you ain't heard nothing yet. Just wait. Hey, I wanted today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the crew that put it together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, This is Father Voskin inviting you to check in with us at In His Shoes. Check out all the show notes today. Check in with the other blogs that are all around. And remember to check in next week as we take the next step.
You've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.